Right, John chapter 1, verses 29 to 34, page 1064. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came, baptizing with water, was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God."
Thank you, John, for bringing that reading. In Christendom, proclamation is announcing or preaching or sharing the gospel. Gospel is a word that is derived from good spell, good news to spell, or go and spell. Go and spell the Christ in you. Go and spell the transformation in your life because of Christ. Go and spell his forgiving love. But there are certain ways to proclaim the gospel. It is how to proclaim and what to proclaim during proclaiming. Hope every one of you might have experienced seeing a street evangelist, street pastors doing evangelism in the street corners or in the high streets. How many of us have seen that? Everyone might have seen it. There are some pros and cons of that. I would like to listen from you, briefly shouting out in a word or two. Firstly, let us go with pros. What are the positive things you would observe in a street pastor going there and proclaiming gospel? Want to shout out loud?
There is a passion for Christ.
There is a passion for Christ, yes.
Reaching out.
Reaching out, yes.
God's name.
God's name, yeah, be proclaimed.
They are bold enough
to go and say that. Courage, they are courageous. There are many pros, we can say that. Any cons?
People may oppose,
yeah, that is correct. But is there any cons of any negative things you would observe in street pastors doing evangelism? You might have seen in the BBC news last year in Southgate, one of the street pastors was arrested and he was put up in the prison. And there are many things happening across not only UK, in the US, and all over the world. And is a, yeah, you might have heard them using the words like, they are bold enough. They have passion for Christ. They want people to come to know the Lord. These are all the basic things they have. And we should pray for them. And sometimes when they are using the words, you might have heard them using, "You sinners, if you continue sinning, you will be facing the hell of fire." People will be scared. And sometimes they use the period of judgment. It is coming. You will be judged. People think, non-Christian friends, they would think that, oh, I don't want to face that. Because they don't know the basic of what he wants to say that. And they might say sometimes, most of the times, when they are arrested or being opposed, they would say these words. Even Jesus was not accepted and his preaching was ignored. Let me ask you this question. Did Jesus continue preaching in the same place where he was not accepted? If there is a confusion, if there is any prohibition in accepting Christ, then there is no meaning of stressing the message again and again, because eventually it will not be heard. We need to dust off our feet and leave the place. We are now living in the culture where the dialogue is most welcome rather than monologue. People are not interested in hearing one person talking. The culture has changed. We need to be sensitive enough in taking the gospel gently to the ears of the Gentiles. I mean, the non-Christians now. And while saying that, going to the other extreme, thinking about how long we are going to resist ourselves in sharing Christ with others just to maintain our relationship with non-Christian friends. The time is coming. We sang that he is going to come again soon. It is nearer. Keep rubbing shoulders for years, but not saying a single word about Christ. That is a little bit not comfortable. In that process, we are moving with a personal motive, not our relationship or friendship with the other non-Christian friends should be broken. So that is more personal motive, as there is no Christ in there. So we need to find a balance between these two in proclaiming gospel. Sometimes we need to waiting in patience for the right time to come. Sometimes we need to speak as if this right time, this appropriate situation may not come again in the future. So we need to seek God to give us words to speak to the people at the right situation, the right words. Imagine you are standing in the Barkingside High Street and suddenly you are proclaiming, "Behold the Lamb." I tell you, our non-Christian friends would come and ask you, "How much is a kilo?" We need to contextualize the gospel. We need to explain the gospel in such a way that they can understand. One of the great men of God, his name is Sadhu Sundar Singh, and he was born in the late 19th century in India. He accepted Christ and he became a pronounced Indian Christian missionary. And he wrote the book called At the Master's Feet, wonderful book, One should read that. And he quoted this quote about the missionaries visiting India from abroad. He said that, "Great that you are feeding us with the word of God, but feed us on our plates." I heard this from one of our tutors in Spurgeon's, and he was saying that there is some place in the world, I don't remember the place now, and in that place, the people of the land, they have never seen nor heard the animal pig in their lifetime. So how would you make them understand this, saying that, "Don't scatter pearls before swine"? They haven't seen pigs at all in their life. And when you go and say that, "Don't scatter pearls before swine," they will think, "Who is that swine?" So we need to find what is the animal in their locality considered as very low or being rejected from the society, outcast animal, and we need to bring that as an example for them to understand. It does not mean that we have aired the gospel. It is about presenting the gospel in the way they can understand. John the Baptist, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." John was preaching this to the Jewish community who were expecting for the Messiah to come, who were more familiarized with the practice of guilt offering. They sacrificed animals like lamb for their intentional and non-intentional sins. So when John was preaching that, the Jewish people would not have left in any confusion about what this preacher is preaching about. And John is including here an another interesting aspect of the removal of the sin through this upcoming Messiah. That is, he is saying that the sin of the whole world will be removed through this Messiah who is going to come soon. Imagine the non-Jewish or the Gentile community, they must be standing around there. How they would have perceived it? John declared here the participation of every humanity in this great will of God. So they might have felt an inclusiveness. They might have felt comfortable while hearing John's message. They might have felt that, "No, I am not abandoned from this group. I am a part of this big plan. I am not a stranger to this world, to this community. I am included in that. How great! I am already in the plan of God." That kind of inclusiveness was proclaimed in John's message. He was saying that the whole world's sin will be removed. That is how we need to share Christ to one another, saying that we are all same. We are all belong to Christ. That inclusiveness people really need at this age. And then John continues, "But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he, Christ, might be revealed to Israel." John here was accomplishing exactly the will of God. He was precisely doing what God has asked him to do. And John here was preaching about the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It is the water baptism, the outward cleansing one, which the Jewish community already experiencing through their rituals. So he is saying that this is what I have come to do. Although at this moment, John knew already that the spirit baptism is going to come soon, that the person who is going to come and baptize will be baptizing people in spirit. He knows that already, because in the following verse he says that, I am not the one who is going to baptize you with the spirit. There is someone else coming, and I am here to reveal who he is. That is a beautiful testimony that we need to go and proclaim to the world around, revealing Christ in us. We need to think about, in our life, how do we live? Do we live in a way that we are revealing Christ in us? Is that our life speaking about Christ? Is that people of other faith seeing us and acknowledging Christ? That is very difficult. You can go and tell Jesus is Lord, Jesus loves by word, but living is very difficult. That's what God has asked us to do. Live in such a way that people come and acknowledge Christ. We know the saying, our actions speak louder than words. What to proclaim? Proclaim Christ. Proclaim Christ alone. Paul the Apostle, under the ministry of reconciliation, he says this, persuade others, for Christ's love compels us. I get excited when people come and ask me, how did I come to know Christ? How did I come to know the Lord? I wait for that moment, and I really throw some words in such a way that would trigger them to ask that question. Once they ask that question, then that's it. The ball is in my court and I can play. I will start enjoying in sharing every aspect of my conversion. That is the excitement that I experience. When I start experiencing Christ's love, in the beginning, not very late, just a few years before, I used to think, if I have known Christ in my earlier period, it would have been very nice that I might have traveled a long distance, a long journey with Christ. But now I have given only a short span. So I compare myself with other Christian friends who were born and brought up as a Christian in a Christian family. But then I realized, God has a purpose. God has a plan. And he has purposely led me to experience the other faith living in my past, so that I can come and connect with the people. Hey, you are not a separate or a separate one now. I am with you. I was like you just a few years before. It's not a big change. See what Christ has done in me. So it is an opportunity, it is an advantage now, I presume, to go and share with the other non-Christian friends. Christ's love is bubbling in us. And when we think about that conversion, since I have shared that with you many times, I leave you free this time. And yeah, I'm still tempted to, but I control myself. So the thing is, like, Paul has said that we need to urge in sharing this faith to people, because Christ's love is compelling me. How he has loved me, that love is bubbling inside me, and it cannot be keep quiet. I cannot keep that quiet. Hope you might have heard this song. Shall we sing this song together? This is the right time to sing it. Shall we start? C, D, F, Z.
It's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing, I'm dancing, since Jesus made me whole. No folks can understand it, nor can I keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night.
One more time.
It's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing, I'm dancing, since Jesus made me whole. No folks can understand it, how can I keep it quiet? It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night.
That's bubbling. It should bubble in us, that love, that experience of joy. We need to go and share it with others. You know what? We are called with a special name. Ambassadors of Christ. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We are the true representatives of Christ. So we need to fulfill that duty in faithful enough. Our life, our testimony should reveal Christ. Our testimony should go and tell the love we experience, and other people should be astonished seeing that, what are they mad about? And we need to explain what we are mad about, that is in Jesus. When I'm saying about testimony, we should be very careful in sharing our testimonies. The testimonies should encourage one another. The testimonies should make people think about, yes, I can pray to God. Since God has done that thing to him, he will do that to me. So like that kind of encouragement. And we should be careful if we are sharing our testimony, not to put them off, not to put people thinking that envy about others, or provoking them into jealous for saying that, yes, I have attained this, I have achieved this, I have published this, or I have reached that level in my ranking, I have obtained this million core project, or whatever it is. It is all by God's grace. I'm not saying it is wrong. But when you are saying that, it should be for the glory of Christ. And it should not make other people upset, or it should not boast yourself up. Paul says that, always I boast in Christ. There is nothing in us to boast about. We are a mere garbage. Happy to be called like that. Everything what is accomplished in our life is through Christ. So we should be careful in sharing our testimony. John the Baptist also says, he should increase, I should decrease. Having received Christ in our life, how long we are going to proclaim our testimony with the full of our own ability, our own desire, our own strength? There is no meaning in it. Let us help, or let us uplift Christ to be increased in our life. We are going to share watch night service, the testimonies. So it might be a prelude before preparing for the testimonies. Let us hear what John's testimony was. He said, this was John's testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. This is the testimony of John. John was told by God that you are going to baptize with water, someone is going to baptize by Spirit, and how would you identify? You will see the Holy Spirit descending down in a bodily form as a dove, and you will recognize that person, and that person is the God's chosen one. We are not told anywhere in the scripture how God communicated that to John, whether by dream or by vision. We are not told that. But whatsoever, John was waiting for this opportunity. John was doing the water baptism sincerely, which he knew already this is not going to exist forever, because he was asked to do. So he was doing that sincerely, and that time he saw the Spirit descending upon this person, and he did not miss that opportunity. He grabbed that immediately and he said, "This is the man. This is the man God told me that the chosen one." He was identifying Christ to the community. He was pointing the people towards Christ. He was not blocking Christ. He was not blocking his way. He was moving back and he said, "Don't look at me. This is the person you need to look at. This is the Messiah. This is the chosen one." Are we pointing out Christ through our life? Are we pointing out, just hiding behind the cross? "Lord, let you be seen. Your glory be seen." And you don't know how much you are investing for that. Without your knowledge, John the Baptist is proclaimed. John the Baptist is preached all over these sanctuaries, especially during this Advent season. I'm not sure how many of you have known about Maria Skopstova. She was a Russian Orthodox spiritual activist. She was born in the upper class in the Russian family in the late 19th century. And after the Russian Revolution, she was moved to France, Paris, and she became a nun. But her monasticism is not within the cloister. He was living in the street. She was sharing her life with the paupers and tramps. And she threw herself into God's, Jesus' words, saying that loving the neighbor and living among the poor. So she made a church, and she restored a kitchen, and she cooked the meal for the people, those who could not feed themselves. She begged the bakers, and she begged all the traders around, asking, "Whatever they cannot sell in the market, please give it to me." So she was collecting all those things. It was during the Nazi period when the Jewish people were under attack. So Maria was given permission to take this food and water to the Jewish children who were kept in the stadium. She was given that permission. She always quotes two types of lives we can live. The first one is walking on the dry land, where you can expect anything, you will be respected, and everything is secure. And the second one is living on the water. That is not possible to measure or plan anything beforehand. The only thing you need to have is to have faith on walking water. If you don't have faith, you will sink down. So Maria chose that second part, and she said, "Yes, I am going to dedicate my life for Christ." And even she went and persuaded the Parthian refuse workers to smuggle some Jewish children from the stadium in a dustbin. Her nickname was called the trash can nun. She was bringing children and secured them in the trash can, and she put all those children in her basement, and she helped the children, feeding them and making the documents ready to move them to south of France somewhere to be kept safe. The whole life of herself being dedicated and devoted for people. She lived as a role model for Christ. as Christ has asked. And you know how she died? You know, like in the Jewish time, when everyone was sending into gas chambers, her turn came, and you know, she not her turn, one young woman's turn came, and she went and told, "You be stay, I will go for you." So she went on behalf of that young woman into that gas chamber, and she rescued the other lady's life. And she gave all these documents in her hand, and the children, those who were in the basement, to go and protect them. She offered her own life. And she directed her life for us when we read to Christ. It's very difficult to live a life like that. I like this quote, what she said. "I completely accept suffering in the knowledge that this is how things ought to be for me. And if I am to die, I see this as a blessing from on high." So she took that as a blessing. She sacrificed herself and she lived the life as Christ asked, and she was pointing us to Christ. So in this Christmas, if you go and share with the other non-Christian friends, "Christ has born," they would look at you like this. "Are you okay? You said the same thing last year, and you have come to say the same thing." We need to proclaim in the way they can understand. We need to proclaim in the way that we bring honor and glory to Christ's name. We need to proclaim in the way that we can point them to Christ. We need to proclaim in the way that we live, that they acknowledge Christ. So let this Christmas be a proclamation year for us, year of Jubilee. So we are going to go and share with the people around in a gentle way, taking the gospel, not missing the opportunity, but glorifying God's name. We don't know when the end time is going to come. And it is not for ticking any boxes. Christ is not going to ask how many souls you have brought to me, but it is out of love. The love in us should keep on bubbling and it should not get quenched. And we need to go and share that. See what Christ has done. Amen.